The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. This is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at RealCodyMallory. I am once again joined by my two co-hosts, Anthony Dittmar, on Twitter, that is Anthony Dittmar _, and Joe Farrow, on Twitter, that is at the Joe Farrow. What's going on, guys?
I'm pumped. Me and Joe are going to the Nets game tonight. We're going to see Kyrie's home debut.
Oh, yeah, I'm so pumped for that, man. And on top of a monstrous win last night, amazing. I can't wait.
Yeah, man. Like, I tried to play it. I don't know if I want to say cheap, but I tried to get some of the great brigade seats and I failed.
No, you tried to be cheap. That's exactly what
Yeah.
So I won't be there tonight, but I'll be watching on my couch for sure. For sure.
I did not experience the energy at the arena, though. Come on now.
I can't wait for that, dude. I can't, like, the starting lineup is about to be so electric.
They better do him last. Like, you know, like, you always put, like,
the come on. You think they're that dumb? They're going to do him last.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, sometimes they put, like, Kevin Durant first. I'm like, what the hell? Like, why are you hyping it up for Bruce Brown?
Whoa, Bruce Brown slander this early?
No, Bruce, there is no slander. You know what he means. Come on.
Anthony woke up with violence today.
What I meant by that. Come on now.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys have fun tonight, but it's lining up for April 8th. Maybe Ben Simmons? You guys see that update yesterday?
I did. That it's exciting, dude. It's like me and Anthony might get blessed to see Kyrie's first home game and Ben Simmons' first game this year.
That would be
good things happening, though. Like, I feel like the Nets can't have this many good things happening at once. Like, we need something right. Kind of like a minor thing.
Yeah, so just quick update. Simmons, correct me if I missed something because I worked all day yesterday. But Grady gave an update during the game. Well, first, I should say he traveled with the team to Miami, which everyone is – guessing, I don't know if this is true or it's just rumor, it's the first time he's traveled with the team where he had to fly. I know he was in Philly, but that was a drive. I think he was at the Knicks game, obviously also not a flight. They were keeping him off planes for a while, I believe, because of his back. Yeah, so that's a good first step. And then Grady gave the update about the epidural. He said that Simmons was having pain down his leg before because of his back, and following the epidural, that pain is gone, which is obviously a very good sign. I know I saw on ESPN maybe 5 days ago that Brian Windhorst said he's covered players before that have gotten an epidural, and they said it's, like, amazing. They couldn't believe how quickly and, like, how complete the pain was, just, like, gone. So everything seems to be coming together for Ben Simmons. He hasn't done any work yet, right, on the court, correct, just what he's been doing?
Yeah, I think just light drills and stuff. I don't think he's in full contact team practice yet or no. But, like, he's probably going to, like, do what the Pelicans tried to do with Zion this year before, like, he had a his setback and eventually had to miss the rest of the season. Like start him with 1-on-1, then 2-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-2, 3-on-3, all the way up to 5-on-5. And then at that point, he'd be able to play. But I feel like they're going to move through that pretty rapidly if he's feeling better, because they want Ben Simmons on the floor. So hopefully,
right.
Hopefully the epidural does the magic that it's been said to do. And we see Ben Simmons very soon.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players where, like, you could just, like, plug him in right away and he'll be fine. He's not really, like, looking to get an offensive rhythm or anything like that. You just need him out there for defense and, like, facilitating. And I don't think you'll lose that ability, like, when you're, like, you're out for that long. I think that's just kind of his natural God-given talent. So I think, like, in terms of, like, getting him into, like, game shape, like, besides from, like, the physicality standpoint, like, there's not much he has to do to, like, look like you'd be a part of it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I completely agree. And especially because we already have a player that plays very similar to him in Bruce Brown, and he fits in seamlessly. So it's like you just plug him into those original spots that Bruce Brown was in, and he's in the sit. And like literally, I don't think much changes. I mean, Ben adds a lot more in transition opportunities, and just defensively, he's obviously superior to Bruce. But even though Bruce is an amazing defender, it's just that size and everything like that. He'll fit in seamlessly, I think. I think once we just plug him into that lineup, it's going to be very similar and look the same, just an overall better team because Ben Simmons is an all-star.
Yeah, I think the main difference besides the playmaking is just that size.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to help rebounding. Obviously, he's going to help defensively. Pushing in transition because he'll get his own rebound and he's just gone. Like, he'll get it and he just takes off. He doesn't wait to find an outlet pass. He'll just take it himself. So,
yeah, it's just like, imagine if Bruce Brown had 6 more inches onto his height and was able to grab his own rebound and take it coast to coast in 3 seconds. Like, that's what we're adding.
And Ben Simmons is, like, he's fast. Like,
yeah.
In the open court, like, he's fast with the ball for a guy that's 6'10", 6'11". So,
yeah.
I mean, the Nets, we'll get into the Heat game. They look great without Simmons. When Curry plays, and Dragic is in the lineup. But, like, with Simmons, man, they're going to be starting Kyrie, Seth Curry, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant, and Andre Drummond. I mean, that's, like, borderline all-star team right there.
Yeah, it's close. Like, I mean, if you maybe, I think if you just switch Seth's first name, then yeah. But in all seriousness, Seth Curry has been phenomenal. He's just like, I can't believe the contract that he's on. Like, we have him at like $8 million a year for like 2 more years. It's like, if you could switch the contracts of Joe Harris and Seth Curry, I'd be very happy with that, actually.
Yeah, man. I mean, Seth Curry's been amazing. He was amazing again last night. They definitely missed him against Memphis, and hopefully that ankle, I mean, I think it was precautionary the last time he sat out, knowing he'd have 5 or 6 days rest in between games if he missed that game. So, but the Nets need him, especially with no Joe Harris. Like, he's just been much better than I anticipated, and I knew he was pretty good coming to the Nets. So,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Before we go into the Miami Heat game, I guess if you want to call it a game, I'm not really sure. We call that maybe practice, a scrimmage, like work on our offensive sets. Anyways,
intramural basketball.
Pick up. We got some Kyrie Irving news that's not really basketball related, and it's not vaccine related. It's kind of weird. Like,
what a Kyrie nice news, events, huh?
Some Kyrie news that doesn't involve a shot. Whether it's a basketball one or one with something in it, I guess. I'm not really sure how vaccines work, but so Kyrie was asked about, well, I don't exactly remember how it went. Somehow he basically said that he was staying with the Nets. They asked him if the Nets felt they could win this year or whatever, being the 8th seed. And Kyrie was like, yeah, like, we're obviously going to give it our all this year, but it's about building a legacy here and building, like, a strong thing in Brooklyn. And they were like, oh, so, like, you're a free agent after the summer. Does that mean you're signing the extension? And Kyrie was joking around. He's like, oh, man, I forgot. Like, I got to be careful what I say in front of these microphones. Like, there's always someone listening. But he went on to say, it has always been about being comfortable and loving where I'm at, and I love it here. Once this summertime hits, I know we'll have some conversations, but there's no way I can leave my man 7 anywhere. Obviously, talking about Kevin Durant, and really, like, their brotherhood and bond, we've seen it throughout the entire time this year, and even last year, those two are super tight. Kevin Durant had Kyrie's back throughout the entire vaccine thing. Everyone was saying, the media was saying KD should be going after Kyrie, make him get the vaccine, blah, blah, blah. But no. And Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, we're going to see them play in a Nets uniform most likely for another 4 or 5 years at the minimum. And that's just, like, I'm still in awe about it. Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah, I kind of was under the impression that Kyrie was locked in to stay as soon as Kevin Durant told Eric Adams basically to go fuck himself and lift the mandate.
You broke it. We said no more Eric Adams talk.
Well, you know, that was kind of necessary. That was the turning point for me.
I also thought that James Harden was a lock after Kevin Durant signed the extension, but that's a different story. I think Kyrie was always a lock, though. I'm going to be completely honest. Like, yeah. He loves it here. He grew up a fan. And, like, Durant was the one, like, we knew he came. I felt like, I don't know if you guys thought this in 2019, I felt like him and Kyrie were on board to go somewhere together. And that Kyrie wanted the Nets, so Kevin Durant was like down for it too. I don't know if you guys kind of felt like the same thing.
Yeah, 100%. And it made a lot of sense because Kevin Durant, like, he's just another one of the millionaire, soon to be billionaire NBA players that wants to, like, really build a brand for himself and build a life after basketball. So coming to a big market like New York just made a lot of sense for him. And we've seen the stuff he's done with his podcast, with Boardroom, with all that stuff, and it should, his portfolio and just his brand of himself is just getting bigger and bigger, and coming to Brooklyn is an amazing spot for him to do that.
Yeah, 100%. I think he likes, like, he wanted, like, somewhere to stay. I feel like after that Golden State move, he did that to win. He kind of wanted somewhere to, like, settle down and kind of just create his own legacy and, like, just kind of, like, build something and be like that guy around, like, something. I think he found that. And, like, obviously there's some wrinkles along the way. Not going to lie. It's been a rocky ride since he signed here, with him being out the whole season. Then last year with the whole, like, injuries and just not really working out. And this year with all the drama we know, it's like maybe finally it's like going to be a smoother ride for the next couple of years, I would hope.
Let us knock wood on that one.
I know there's some salty Celtics fans out there being like, oh, he told us he was signed too. Like, you just wait. I just want to say, like, sure, you never know what could change in 3 months, 4 months, whatever. But this is Kyrie Irving's home. Like, this is where he grew up. Like, this is the team he was a fan of, obviously in Jersey, when he was, like, a kid, a high schooler, et cetera. And Kevin Durant's here. Like, if the Celtics had Kevin Durant, maybe Kyrie Irving stays, because when you play basketball and, like, literally your best friend, like, it's a lot more enjoyable. So I'm fairly confident. Like, I felt all along that Kyrie Irving would be re-signing with the Nets, even throughout the vaccine thing. I thought it could get tricky if you can only get play part-time, like, with the Nets give him a max, etc. But now that that's all settled, immediately I was like, oh, Kyrie Irving's definitely not leaving. I wouldn't be surprised if he signs this max extension and then signs another one after and stays in Brooklyn the rest of his career. Even that if it's longer.
I was just going to say, because, I mean, if Kyrie Irving, he just turned 30. He signs a four-year deal. He's here until he's 34. He could sign one more contract after that. And, I mean, Kyrie Irving, this is the team that he grew up watching, like we just said. But also, like, as long as Sean Marks is here, Sean Marks is going to do whatever he can to keep this team competitive and keep his stars happy. We saw that when the Nets wanted James Harden, they went out and they got James Harden. So, like, Sean Marks is a guy who's willing to do anything to just improve his chances of winning. And obviously, it has not worked out yet. Hopefully, that changes. But Sean Marks is a guy, he's going to do his best to keep his guys happy.
Yeah, like, I want to mention is, like, you have two star players, like, obviously, think we'll get only three maxes, but, like, we'll say for this point, too, like, when you have a championship level team, you have, like, you're very strapped for cash. The rotating pieces, like the rotation guys, they're going to change every year. I thought people were, like, freaking out that Andre Drummond said he was, like, becoming a free agent. We talked about this. Like, players are going to come in and out the store. Like, we're going to get different veterans, try to ring chase, different guys that are friends. It's going to change. Some guys may outplay their contracts. You never know. But as long as you have those two, like, there's always going to be talent that follows them. So I would say don't get too attached to any role player on this team, because, like, things change fastly and, like, situations change. Like, you never know. Like, look how we looked at Patty Mills at the beginning of this year versus the end of this year. Like, that's just one season. You know what I mean? So, like, a lot can change. So, like, as long 100%. As you're coming, you're good.
And just another quick point before you went to the Heat game that Joe said about Sean Marks. He has assets now. Like, if it doesn't work out, maybe this year, beginning of next year, like, I don't want to talk it, but I don't think this would happen, but, like, he could flip a Ben Simmons for someone. He has those first round picks he could trade now. He has a Joe Harris player he could trade because he has Seth Curry. So, like, he has assets where he could retool the roster. So if Kyrie stays and they're like, oh, we're not winning, like, he could completely change it and still get another star with moving, like, Ben Simmons, Joe Harris, and two first round picks. So say we want to go back into, like, another James Harden situation with a different player. Like, he could still do it. Maybe a LeBron James, but I don't know. there's a lot of flexibility with the roster as well, which I think they didn't have before, especially after the Harden trade, of course. If it didn't work out, they were kind of stuck. They were able to move Harden, not for the reason that didn't work out, but there's a lot of flexibility, and players definitely look at that because they want to be able to do something that's going to work for them, especially as they're getting older. So that's another advantage that the Nets have that they did not have before, especially after when Sean Marks first came on board after the Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett trade.
Poor guy. What a shitty situation to walk into.
And what a effing job he did. I don't think we've ever really talked about that trade on this podcast because it happened so long ago. But, like, Sean Marks, amazing GM, did an incredible job. And here we are, blowing out the Miami Heat, who were in – I believe they were in first place in the East. Now, I know they've been sliding. They lost three in a row. They almost had a fight on their own bench. And
yeah, I just real quick, I think we should book that for one of our off-season episodes. When there's a slow news day, we will go through the full Sean Marks timeline and how he flipped this garbage team that we had into what we have now.
I'm game. I mean, it'll even be fun just to relook at everything he's done, because I'm sure I'm forgetting several key moves. How many moves he's had to make, and, like, I follow the Nets extremely close, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something.
Yeah, you know, the game changed when Rondé Hollis-Jefferson got to Brooklyn, I tell you.
I swore by that man for years, thinking he'd develop a jump shot.
Me too.
Oh, dear. I'm going to be honest. This should come as no surprise, but I was never a big fan.
He's like, I hate D'Angelo Russell. I hate
one thing all our listeners know by now is all former Nets, Cody has a deep hatred for.
Like Joe Johnson hate the guy.
No. Hold up. I was a huge ISO Joe guy.
Yeah, but everybody else can go fuck off, is what I'm hearing.
No. Like, I was Lopez, huge,
so bad.
Huge Andre Blatch guy, huge Reggie Evans. loved me some Sean Livingston.
What about Brooke Lopez?
I'd be like, oh man, that Quincy AC guy. I thought we had something.
I liked Brooke Lopez, obviously. I mean, I knew they were never gonna win with him being like their best player, but I mean he was good for the Nets.
What about something?
Stop it.
Who?
He was like a bench point guard they had like in New Jersey. He had like really good and everyone gassed him.
I was a big Sean Kilpatrick guy. I thought he was like Michael Jordan for like a 3-week span and then just like fell off a cliff.
Okay, I was a big Devin Harris fan. Remember that buzzer beater where he bobbled it at half court?
It goes to 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Huge. I was like, I'm glad I wasn't on Twitter at the point because I would have gotten clowned. But I was a huge Marshawn Brooks guy. Like, huge. I thought that man was going to be like all NBA first team.
Yeah, in China.
Yeah, and then he got shipped off to China.
All China first.
The Gerald Green dunk was nice, though.
What'd you say?
Gerald Green windmills.
The Gerald Green.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Nets.
I was going to say, those were some dark times, man.
They really were.
We go from that to now, like, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. It's just insane. I'd just like to let you know that as a rookie, Marshawn Brooks averaged 12.6 on 43% shooting in 29 minutes. Like those are better than Cam Thomas' numbers. Come at me, Anthony.
Oh dear.
Anyways, back to, are we calling it a game last night? Like against the Miami Heat? Is that what we're calling it? Like,
we're calling it intramural.
When you got Andre Drummond putting up the Tyreek Hill peace sign, like, you know you're getting blown out.
Blake too.
And Blake.
Yeah, Blake did it too.
Blake did it much later, but, like, still, like, you know it's ugly. And they asked Drummond about it post-game, and he was like, yeah, man, I don't really know why I did it. Maybe it was because Tyreek Hill's coming to Miami. But, like,
well, no, and then KD said after the game, too, he said, we're all trying to get 2K emotes.
That's hilarious.
KD's quote after the game to Vondi.
Yeah, I did.
Because aren't you a Knicks reporter? Oh yeah. Man, I thought we were irrelevant.
Yeah, that's hilarious. He was talking about like because I think Vondi's traditionally like a Knicks reporter, but I guess he switches over at the season to like whoever's playing better or more talk worthy. So he's covering the Nets. Kind of goes, but we're irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, things like that, like, the Nets are 8 seed, like, tough season, et cetera, but, like, they're still having fun. Like, if you look at Andre Drummond, there's not, like, a single picture or video of him where he is not laughing. I mean, even KD, like, he's never stopped joking around throughout this entire thing. So, that's, like, invaluable. Like, you look at the Miami Heat, they're 47-28, and that team's goddamn miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's way what.
So
I think Drummond just keeps laughing at all of Steve Nash's rotations. That might be what it is.
Whoa.
Why did Steve Nash stray?
Nah, I don't know. That was just fuck around.
What a dominant game, though, honestly. Like, that game was just pure dominant. After the first quarter was close. Then second quarter to the fourth, it was the domination. Like, everyone.
Yeah, they had a – The first quarter was real close. They had a 20-6 run to end the first half. Then in the third quarter came out guns blazing again. By the end of the third quarter, we're at one point we were up 94-57. We were almost up like literally almost up 40. And they ended up crawling back a little bit, but it was an absolute slaughter.
Crazy. I mean, Miami's like they've been struggling. Just put it nicely, but the Nets, forget offense, they absolutely locked in defensively, and we saw it against Philadelphia. Like, they appear to get up against the bigger teams in the East, and like they just have a different mentality, and they've all been on the road as well, like Miami at Philly, like I don't know. Which when you're the 8 seed, the Nets are going to be playing one of these teams in the first round. They're either going to play Miami, Philadelphia, Boston, or the Bucks. It's crazy that that's going to be one of your first round opponents, but it is. So that's reality, and you're going to be playing majority of the games on the road. So the Nets are just proving to everyone, like every time they go to one of these teams, I feel like it's an absolute statement game for them. I mean, obviously they lost to Boston, but Boston just went on fire. Tatum, it took Tatum like what? He dropped 50 or something, 48 around there, in order to barely beat the Nets when Kyrie struggled. So like that's gonna happen. But the Nets definitely play up, and they get up, especially defensively, when they play one of these top tier teams in the East. And Joe, I'm surprised you didn't mention it, but we had a video tribute game for Goran Dragic. You're a huge tribute guy. Like, you love him. Why do you not bring it up?
I forgot that even happened. But, I mean, he deserves it. He balled out Miami. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
That was a deserved video tribute. I'll give you that one. He didn't win the race, but he almost did. This one was deserved.
Get it. Yeah, this one. All right.
He was there for what, 7 years?
Cody, what you said defensively for the Nets, they had 20 combined blocks and steals last night. They were just all over the place. 15 total steals as a team and 5 blocks. But just like KD had 3 steals, Kyrie had 2, Bruce had 3, Drummond had 2 steals, and then one of them led to that fast break, peace sign, dunk. TLC 2.0 had 3 steals. Seth had 1, Clax had 1. And then Clax had 2 blocks. Drummond had a block. Dragic had a block. KD had a block. It was they put on a clinic defensively last night. And it was a game where Kevin Durant didn't play his best basketball offensively. Kyrie didn't play his best basketball offensively. But it was the defensive grit of the Nets last night that really, really got it done. Seth Curry put up 17, and he was 6 of 10. KD had 23. And Kyrie only had 11 points, and he shot 4 for 11. But it was really – it just felt like one of those, like, 2019 Nets teams where it was just, like, everybody on the team was putting up damn near 10 points, and it was just, like, a win-by-committee kind of feel to the team. And it was, like, it's weird to say that when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on your team, but it's just, like, everybody was scoring. It was definitely really fun. It was, like, a nice little callback game, it felt like.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, they blew him out, and KD and Kyrie didn't put up KD and Kyrie numbers. Neither of them did. Look at the scoring. 23, 17, 13, 11, 10, 9, 8, 9. It's like it was incredibly balanced. And, I mean, the Nets didn't blow the Heat out by shooting the lights out of the ball. Like, they shot 33% from 3. Nothing crazy. They only knocked down 11 three-pointers. 47% from the field. It was 100% defense and holding their own on rebounding. And I do want to mention, last time when the Nets played Miami, Kevin Durant did not play, but Kyrie Irving did. It's when they made that huge comeback and they ultimately ended up losing at the end. I think Kyrie scored like 21 in the fourth or something. Bam Adebayo, like, he absolutely feasted that game. Like, he destroyed the Nets, absolutely destroyed them. And I was like, oh, man, like, this is kind of like the games or the team where – you brought Drummond in for that matchup, and, like, he did it, told his own. But I just want to say, last night, Drummond, 13 and 11 in 18 minutes. He was a plus 4, which, granted, when everyone else in the starting lineup was plus 20 or above, like, it's not great. But you had Bam, who only had 14 and 6, and that was his primary matchup, so –
And also, Bruce Brown had more points than Jimmy Butler last night, and Bruce only scored 8 points, which is low for his standards recently. So, like, that just shows you, like, the Nets really did have a great night defensively. Like, Jimmy Butler had 7 points, and he shot 2 for 9. And that's their number one option. That's their top scorer. And, like, their whole, like, nobody scored more than 14. Bam was their highest scorer. Like, Lowry had 12. Right. Herro had 13. Max Struss had 13 somehow, but, like, it was just a good defensive clinic that the Nets put on yesterday. And it's so weird. Like, we were talking about this earlier in the year, like, before the roster even changed, just saying, like, this team, like last year, our thing was we just didn't play any defense. But like this year, now we do play defense, and it's like it's a nice change of pace that it's not always defense is losing us games where we have to score 130 a night to beat a team.
Yeah, you look at Miami Heat's starting lineup: PJ Tucker a minus 25 in 23 minutes, Jimmy Butler a minus 26 in 25 minutes. Bam, a minus 21 in 24 minutes. Kyle Lowry, a minus 27 in 25 minutes. Like, that's just not losing. That's not getting, like, blown out. That's getting your ass handed to you. Like, they got outscored by a point a minute. Like, that's not happened very often in the NBA. Especially when you're first in your conference. Like, very great game for the Nets. Drummond, once again, I just want to mention him. I think it was his sixth double-double for the Nets already. I believe I saw that somewhere.
Walking double-double.
You're right. And he's only played in 16 games, and he's only averaging 21 minutes a game for the Nets. It's up a little bit when he averaged 18 for Philly. But to have six double-doubles in 16 games or seven, whatever it is, and you're only playing basically 20 minutes a night. Like, that's just insane production in your minutes. And then Seth Curry. I mean, it was Seth Curry and Drummond last night that pretty much paced the Nets for a good amount of the game. Curry was 5 of 6 from three. Like, that's insane. After he missed games. Like, we've talked about Kyrie Irving. Like, how is he not rusty? Like, how is Seth Curry not rusty?
Yeah, I mean, I guess – Steve Nash's secret ramp-up sauce or whatever he's given him is like really just like like he's been doing it since last year. Anybody that comes off their ramp-up just comes in and balls. But
yeah,
I want to real quick shout out Blake Griffin again, because he played 12 minutes last night, again got another opportunity. Granted, they were all mostly garbage time, but he looked good again. Like 9 points, he only took 5 shots, they were all threes, and he knocked down 3 of 5 from three. Blake Griffin's actually able to shoot again. That's a big – that would be big. That's, if he could actually, like – if he could actually give this kind of production, especially when, like, guys like Patty Mills are struggling. We played Kessler Edwards a lot again last night, and he had the infamous however many minutes and not a single stat line. So he had 15 minutes, no points, no rebounds, no assists. 0 for 2 from the field, and the only stats he tallied was 2 personal fouls. So, attaboy, Cass.
He ran some cardio last night.
Yeah, he just had to get – that's his ramp up.
Honestly, though, we should really look into playing Blake Griffin over James Johnson. Like, if he can shoot like this a couple more times, I think Nash needs to play Griffin the next few games to see if he has something there and it's not just, like, garbage time shots. Because if he is, like, back on track, that'd be huge, like you said, for the Nets. Because – I don't know how many minutes – I know LaMarcus has been out for 3 weeks. I don't trust LaMarcus Aldridge on defense to play him in the playoffs personally. Like, he is a walking statue. Like, I think Andre Drummond would go past him, like, if he was on the team. Like, that's how slow he is.
A walking statue. I love it.
I think there's some teams you can get away with it.
Yes.
Who could he guard? Brook Lopez, maybe?
I was going to say, I think maybe against Milwaukee, you could get away with it.
Yeah, but then they switch.
Unless they put Portis at the five.
But either way, they're just going to switch Giannis onto him every time. And then LaMarcus doesn't stand a chance. That's just how it's going to go.
He can't stand.
Like, unless you have Ben Simmons alongside LaMarcus, that just isn't going to work, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I still think there's a role for like a 15-man storm off the bench to do some, choose some jump shots. But we'll see.
The Rangers.
I mean, I guess a team that has like a dynamic point guard that's in the game, like against the Hawks or something, if they play him, like Trae Young, they'll just attack the shit out of him and pick and roll with Capella and Young. Like, you can't play him, or even Collins. Like, you can't play him in that series for sure. If there is a series or a playing game, like, absolutely not. You can't play him against Atlanta. Even Charlotte with LaMelo Ball would be a tough matchup. I think you can play him against Miami. They don't really have that player, in my opinion, where he could play, like, I'm not talking 30 minutes, like maybe 12 to 15 in like a short spurt. Truthfully, I think they're going to have to play every big against Philly just to throw different bodies at Embiid. And James Harden in a pick and roll doesn't scare me anymore because he walks off them. He doesn't come downhill at all. So that doesn't really concern me. But, I mean, it'll be something to keep an eye on. And going on with these teams, one last quick thing. Kevin Durant was asked if he's monitoring the Eastern Conference standings. And his response was perfect. He said, whoever is on the card for us, we're going to play. So kind of that mentality of they're not afraid of anyone. They're not afraid to play anywhere. They're just going to show up, play basketball, and kick the opposing team's ass.
Well, yeah, one quick note on that is Cleveland now holds sole possession of the seventh seed, officially a game behind Toronto.
That's big.
The Nets are two games back of Cleveland for the seven. But the one thing to watch is Toronto is one game back of the five. Yep. So – the 4-5 matchup, if the Nets would need the seven seed at that point. Cause if Toronto were to get the 4-5 matchup, escape that, we get past the one seed. If we were the eight, we would play in Toronto second round without Kyrie Irving for any game that we go to Toronto.
I don't think
so. That's something to watch. Well, I know, but that's still something to watch. Yeah, I don't think they're going to beat whoever's out in the 4-5 either. Like, if they match up against Milwaukee and Milwaukee's 4, I don't think they're getting past Milwaukee. But still, that's something to monitor.
Would you rather play Milwaukee or would you rather play Toronto with half of Kyrie Irving? I'm genuinely just asking. I don't know what I would want.
I would probably want to play Milwaukee. I would rather give it a full go with Kyrie Irving than just not have the option of having Kyrie Irving on the floor in a second-round playoff series.
Yeah. See, I'm going to be honest. I think that might be going away in Toronto. I just think teams are going to start looking into it. Like, I know there was a Shams report. I think it was from the Red Sox. It could have been. I think it was the majority of the AL East teams were concerned about, like, the competitive advantage that the Toronto Blue Jays are going to have where the vaccinated players can't go into Canada. And, like, I think that's something that hasn't been talked about enough across all of sports. I know the NBA is the majority vaccinated, so it's not as big of a deal. But, like, to straight up ban, like, star players to come into play there, like, I don't know, man. It seems like a sketchy way to just be like, oh, Aaron Judge, like, you can't play in Canada. Like, screw you. Like, we'd rather play the Yankees without you. Like, of course you
would. That's the other thing, though. It would be different if it was the Orioles and the Orioles stunk and, like, you could still get by. But, like, the Blue Jays are good. Like, the Blue Jays actually, like, they up their roster, like, a lot this offseason. And, like, they're going to be really good. So, like, that competitive advantage is going to be a real thing, especially because they are they're going to be a highly competitive team.
Right. And I mean, it goes into basketball as well. Like, oh, like, we don't want to play the Nets with Kyrie Irving. So, like, let's just keep this until whatever. Now, I'm sure like Canada's not doing it for sports, but like, still, it's still a competitive advantage and it's something to monitor. I think as soon as Shams put something out there, it's going to catch some steam. And we saw the power of the Yankees. So, I guess we'll see what happens. But to answer Anthony's question, if Ben Simmons is healthy, I would rather play the Raptors. If Ben Simmons is not healthy, I would rather play the Bucks.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
Because I think if you have Simmons and Kevin Durant, you're still going to beat the Raptors. And I mean, you have Irving at home. So, like, even just Kevin Durant, like, you're probably you're going to beat that team in six, maybe seven. But all right. So, we got to pick the game tonight that you guys are going to against Charlotte. Pretty big game. The Hornets are still a game back of the Nets. Like, they're hanging in there. They're 7-3 in their last 10, so are the Nets. So they're kind of saying stride for stride with the Nets. I would like to say I picked up a game and I am in second clear of Anthony now. You guys said my strategy was dumb, but it worked out. Joe, win or loss tonight?
I'm not picking a loss while I'm in attendance. I'm taking a
Yeah, I mean, I think the Nets are going to be rested, focused. They know what this game means tonight. I'm also taking a win.
Yeah, I would take the loss for the sake of it, but I don't want to fall any more behind. So I'm taking a win because I think they actually are going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big game. It's not a top team in the East, but it's a big game for a different reason, and the Nets need this one. So they didn't play too many minutes last night. I think KD and Kai were right around like 30. Curry was low 20s, so they shouldn't have too much fatigue Although Steve Nash did say they wouldn't be getting back into Brooklyn until like 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, definitely has an impact on you. I know they're professional athletes and they do it often. Well, I shouldn't say often, a couple times a year, but that definitely has an impact. So we'll see. But I think the Nets are going to come out on top as well. Anything we missed? Anything else you guys want to talk about real quick? Or are we good?
I think we're all good. I'm excited to see Kyrie Irving play at home tonight.
Very excited as well.
All right. Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Anthony, Joe, and Cody. Kyrie Irving back at the place tonight. It's going to be a movie. Enjoy yourself, Joe and Anthony. Let's go Nets.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.